Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Behind the Barricade podcast. And here are your hosts, John O'Connor and Daniel Todd.
Welcome to episode 16 of the podcast. My name is John O'Connor, and joining me, like always, is Daniel Tao. Today, we talk with Grandin Artero of the pop punk band Suck Brick Kid. They were currently on tour with Unwritten Law and Phoenix TX. You could definitely tell that we did the interview in New York City with all the background noise, and enjoy that. We talk about life on the road, long van drives, and a whole bunch more. They're also playing a show tomorrow, April 8th, at Back Booth with Pears and Such Gold. If you're in the Orlando area, you better get tickets now if they're still available. They might be sold out, and if they are, sorry. Anyways, before we begin, we would also like some sponsors. That'd be great to have some sponsors, right, Dan? Exactly. He can't talk right now for whatever reason. Actually, I don't want him to talk. It's just going to be me. We can fit any budget, and your ad will be seen and heard by over 35,000 people. That's more than a few towns. Think about it. That's a whole town's population, and then some. Anyways, if interested, shoot us an email, behindthecade@gmail.com. You can also message us on Facebook, facebook.com/behindthebarricade. Twitter is @behindthecade, CADE, just like the email. And Instagram, instagram.com/behindthebarricade. Next bit of news, Dan's band, Dead Tide, is opening for Soil Work and Fear Factory this Sunday at the Chance Theater in Poughkeepsie, New York. They sold a shit ton of advance tickets, so you better hurry up if you want to pick up a couple. And by a couple, I mean about eight. Yeah, I think they have eight left. Anyways, pick it up. If you want tickets, $20, no hidden fees, no other agenda, just straight up heavy metal music. You can hit up Dead Tide on Facebook, facebook.com/deadtide. What else we got? Oh, I won't be there. Yes, I'm not going to be there for Dan's show. I have a good reason, though. I will be in Las Vegas. So if any of you listening right now want to meet up with me, I'll be out there from Friday night to about Monday night. Yeah, let's go Friday to Monday. Be doing a whole bunch of stuff. I'll be seeing the Manny Pacquiao versus Timothy Bradley fight. Also be seeing Guns N' Roses live, which is pretty cool. And also Mike Tyson's one-man show. So if you guys are out there, hit me up. We'll hang out. We'll have a beer. And if you're under the age of 21, we can have some coffee. Nice Starbucks. I enjoy Starbucks. Who doesn't enjoy Starbucks? Dan doesn't like Starbucks because he's an asshole. Yes, Dan, you are an asshole. Anyways, I think that's it from my end. So here's our interview with Grandin Artero of Suck Brick Kid. Hear it. What's going on, everybody? This is John O'Connor Behind the Barricade Podcast, and I'm with
Daniel Tao.
We're with two members of the Orlando, Florida pump punk band Suck Brick Kid. What's going on, guys?
Hi.
We have Grant on vocals.
Yep.
And Artero on guitar.
Yep, that's me.
Yes. So what's going on? You guys are currently on tour with Unwritten Law and Phoenix TX. How's that going so far?
Beautiful. Every date has been awesome. The weather's been good. Driving's been good, except for Atlanta to Baltimore, which was the worst thing that's ever happened in my whole life.
What happened?
No, it was just miserable. We left at 2 in the morning and got in at, I don't even know.
I don't know.
It felt like 7 at night the next day. Yeah. And went directly, just no sleep, played again, and then it was just bad, all around bad.
And I'm assuming there was traffic all over the place, too, because Washington, D.C. is like a gridlock.
Yeah, I think it took us 3.5 hours to get through D.C., so, you know, it was very fun. Probably the most best time I've had so far on this tour, but... No, I'm kidding. Everything's been great. They're awesome dudes, all of them, in both those bands.
So. Yeah. How's the crowd reception so far?
It's been great. Philadelphia was insane. Where were we last night? Boston. True feelings on Tom Brady and the fact that
Oh, yeah, I read that post.
Yeah, I don't know if it went over very well. I think bottles were thrown. It was just, I don't know. It was pretty good.
Hey, you talking to fucking Tom Brady, eh?
Exactly. You know, I actually had to ask the bartenders to stop selling bottles. So, and more plastic cups preferred. So, but yeah, I mean, I don't know. I kind of just spoke the truth. I mean,
it's nothing wrong with that. What exactly. Football fans are you? Dolphins or
no? He's a Dolphin fan.
Okay, we got one.
It's very unfortunate, but I'm a Steelers fan, and obviously you guys know, you know, we have no Super Bowls. Just throwing it out there, so you guys are.
I'm a Jet fan, so we're rivals over here.
Oh yeah.
Oh, so Jets and Dolphins over here, just, you know, sitting in the bottom of the brackets.
Well, I'm a Giants fan, and we're also on the bottom of the brackets. Yeah. Oh
yeah. Well, at least you guys beat the Patriots every time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We are 2-0 in Super Bowls against the Patriots.
Yeah, that's something to be proud of.
And that's with them cheating too.
Exactly. Yeah. That's
like beating a baseball team on steroids.
Yeah.
It's like, hey.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, for real. So I kind of told them my true feelings, and, you know, kind of.
They're just way too passionate up there.
They are. Oh man, I was getting messages today all day from people that were there, like, you know, you guys were pretty good, but you gotta, like, you know, you can't talk about Tom Brady that way. And it's like, what did I say? You know, he deflated a ball. It's like, yeah, I mean, that's pretty rude.
That's what he did, yeah. Didn't he? Or he knew about it.
Yeah. So, I mean, I more or less, I don't know. I tried to smooth it over. I sent many messages today apologizing for our ever talking about St. Tom Brady. Yeah.
You know, it's crazy. I just interviewed a guy. His name was John Schreiber of the band Rainey's Revenge. And I don't know if you guys heard about it, but that was the band that got into, like, quote unquote, allegedly jumped the tour manager of The Word Alive.
Yes, I did read that story. Wasn't it in Florida?
Yeah, it was in Florida, yeah.
Yeah,
yeah. Shitty things happen in Florida.
Yeah, something about it. But anyways, like the messages he was getting, like the guys were saying, "Oh yeah, you know what? I hope you guys get brain cancer. Hope you fucking die of this." I'm like, Boston fans are probably the same way.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. I mean, I should read you one of the interactions. It was pretty good. It was like, it was, yeah.
Bust it out, come on. God, you can't tease that shit.
Hold on.
I got a screenshot of it.
Let me see if I can pull it up here. Where is it? Facebook? What is this shit? Oh, yeah. Heard you guys pissed off Boston last night. Heard the set sucked, too. Thanks for coming, losers. Period. That was the message that was sent. So I said, thank your mother for having us last night. We appreciate it, with a kissy wink face. The guy responded back, ha, 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 thumbs up. He said, probably had some shitty merch sales last night, too. Either way, enjoy your day. And we just kind of were screwing with him at this point, trolling him, and said, you know, highest sales of the tour. Have a blessed day, brother. And he responded back, and he's like, you know, you guys are, you know, you're cool. You know, I would actually come see you guys again. And I was like, Boston people have a really weird way of expressing that
their love.
It's like, hey, you guys are, you know, I don't really like it, but, you know, I'd come see you again. You know, so it's like, and
well, it's like being
and
assholes with your best friend. You
yeah,
know?
It's yeah. Like, hey, your set sucked, but I want to come see that again.
Yeah.
You know? So, but yeah, I mean, it
just
was
come
cool.
With better band, so I have a reason to be there, not just yeah. You guys.
Yeah. Baltimore was Baltimore.
Yeah.
And you know, it was weird because it had like a 12-foot barricade in depth from the stage, so it's a very odd.
Where were you at, the Auto Bar? Was it?
Yeah, it was called Baltimore Soundstage.
Oh, okay, yeah.
And it had, like I said, it was like you, and the lights were so bright, you can't even. They look like you're not. There's no people. More or less, it's just like the stage, and then 12 feet, and then a barricade, and then people.
Oh god.
So it was really weird. It was so unnecessary.
Especially weird
too.
For a pop punk show or a punk show, you know, when yeah. You thrive on audience participation.
Yeah, absolutely. It was definitely a by ourselves show. It was kind of like a. It's just weird, just by yourselves. We're not used to shows like that. We like smaller, intimate environments, but, you know.
Well, I mean, it's like you're on the Tonight Show, and you're just thinking, okay, people are actually watching this. Can't see them, but.
Yeah, we would be terrible on the Tonight Show. But I hope that we never do that, kind of. I mean, I wish we would be capable of doing things like that, but we would be awful.
Look, I think the lowest standard was Census Fail when they played on Conan. I don't know if you guys see that. Look up that YouTube video. It is not good.
Yeah.
Obviously, they improved.
It's just most bands like that are not going to do well in a weird environment like that. It's like shooting a music video every time. You're like, what are we doing? This is so dumb. If somebody drives by, you're like, what are these idiots doing? Just jumping around and acting crazy. There's nobody even here watching you.
Do you guys have any music videos? Or?
We've shot something that we haven't released because we're kind of on it. But I think we're going to put out something here soon. We kind of, Smart Punk released the record, and we've kind of been slowly teasing it for a while. It's been out for a few months, but we haven't released one single, which is Believe, and then now I think we're going to launch the second single with a video. So
that's good. How long did Smart Punk have a label for? I know they were huge with the clothing line in like the mid-2000s, so like any scene gear you didn't get at Hot Topic, just go to Smart Punk.
It's been about maybe a year and a half or 2 years. Okay. I think there's six artists now on the roster, and I think it's growing, and I think a lot of their focus is like reissues and whatnot.
Uh-huh.
Like they're doing some, I know some things I'm not even allowed to say.
Yeah,
but
yeah, don't.
There's a bunch of stuff that's coming out at the end of this year is going to be awesome from them.
So explain, since you're on tour now, was it everything you thought it would be as far as when you're traveling from state to state, hours, you're like, wow, this really sucks, or is it just after every show you get out of the you go back to the van and you're like, you know what, playing that show was worth the 8-hour drive or however long it took to get there?
I think the consensus on this is pretty mutual with everybody. It's, you know, we've all come from touring bands in the past, and you know, we've taken a little while. We started this band like a year or two ago, and we're like, you know, nothing serious, let's just play some shows. And we got some opportunities, obviously, that, you know, we can't turn down like this. We're like, dude, this is gonna be great, man. We're gonna go on tour again, it's gonna be awesome. And we hit the road, and it's, trust me, it's one of the coolest things to be on the road. And with these guys around Law and Phoenix, yes, they're really cool. But when you're a little older now, the rides are a little bit, they feel a little bit longer. The shows hit you a little bit harder, and you're definitely feeling it a lot more the next day for sure. So it's fun, though. It's great. We love it. Touring is great. It's just definitely harder as you get a little bit older here.
Do you have normal 9-to-5 jobs, or this is you're going out on tour every day? Or
yeah, no, we,
you know,
definitely
months?
Have our 9-to-5 jobs back at home. So, you know, we got those things going on. But like I said, it's like one of those things, just cool opportunities that come up, and, you know, we just make it work.
Yeah, that's good.
I mean, this is day 6 of straight of this portion of it. We just did the whole South by run and all that.
Mm-hmm.
And it, like, that, as I got all, like, we, about 10 years ago, we used to do this a lot, like, consistently, all of us. And, you know, we were younger. And now we kind of started this thing. We were like, well, we'll just get drunk and play shows in Orlando. And, you know, it was never meant to be, you know, something real. And so it kind of, it just evolved into this. And now I'm not used to playing 6 shows in a row. Yesterday I could barely speak, and I had to, you know, it was a nightmare. Today's going to be totally brutal, but, you know, so it's, but, you know, it's good because you start getting, you know, calloused and ready to do it, you know, more consistently. But
yeah, and just a reminder for people listening, even though it's not really a reminder since it's happening now, they're playing the Marlin Room of Webster Hall. And is this your first New York City show, or did you play here?
This is our first East Coast run. All we've done is the Southwest and a lot of stuff in Florida and whatnot. So this is our first East run, and hopefully before the end of the year, we're going to do the West Coast and then maybe something Midwest, and you kind of hit every area of the country. You know, that's kind of the attempt, you know, to do that year by year.
Yeah, that's awesome. Other than the long-ass drives, what do you think is the hardest part about touring? Is it like lack of showers, lack of privacy?
It's everything.
All the above.
lack of showers, yeah. I mean, that part sucks. I mean,
everybody,
you know.
Snores.
Yeah, it's like if you had to pick your band members again, you would have to sleep with them first. And I'm not talking like sexually.
Like
sleep with them, find out if they snore, and make sure they're drunk, like drunk and non-drunk. Like we'd have to do experiments to figure out who you would pick. I don't care if they're not even that good at guitar or anything else, but if we had the option again, I think we would bring people in based off of their snoring, lack of snoring. You know?
Yeah. And we are actually in a very nice van that you guys got. I mean, it could be a hell of a lot worse.
It is. And that's what I said. When you get older, things start becoming a little more, you know, you take things for granted because you can have a decent van, or you can have a, you know, a, like you can, wow, these things recline. Like I remember going on tour with a bench that didn't even have a cushion. It's like, I mean, he's ridden in a plastic like lawn chair for up to New Jersey and back. So, I mean, it's, you know, this is definitely nice. But as you get older, you start like, man, my bed is so comfortable. Man, showers are so nice when you can actually just take a shower, you know, once every 3 days. So it's like, you know, getting older is a little harder when you start touring.
You don't rough it as much anymore.
Yeah, yeah. Exactly. You know, the booze, you need more drinks to deal
just
with it.
Just cope with it. Yeah,
exactly, to cope with it. But, I mean, I love doing it, and there's no better opportunity for us than to do it with guys like Unwritten Law and Phoenix CX. So,
yeah, you know. Well, that's awesome. Let's see, what else? We have New York City tonight. Where else are you playing on this tour?
Finally, thank God, we have an off day tomorrow.
Oh, which congratulations.
Yes, it's like, it's literally my happiest moment of this whole tour is that we get an off day. And then we have Pittsburgh on Monday. We've got Cleveland on Tuesday and Columbus on Wednesday, and then back to Orlando with the Paris Such Gold show.
Yeah. And what day is that?
That might as well is Friday. Friday.
All right. Yep. So it's actually upcoming Friday.
Yep. Yeah, this has been a tornado of a tour for sure. We haven't gotten to see anything cool, have any good food. It's like going to all these awesome places like Philadelphia and Boston and New York.
You just get McDonald's.
Pittsburgh. And it's like, yeah, McDonald's would be a lucky thing. Like I've been living on Cliff Bars and like beef jerky. So I mean, it's kind of yeah.
What a combo.
Yeah, I mean, sometimes like every run has been like a big gap, or we sleep until 10 and then we have load in. Like today's load in was 2 p.m. So it's like, and we drove from Boston to here. So you don't really, and we got home at 4 in the morning last night. Yeah. So like everything's starting to become one day, you know, all 6 or 7 days.
So it's like Groundhog Day almost.
It's yeah. Like I wish it was Groundhog Day. Yeah. But,
yeah. So we're a podcast that deals with concerts and touring, and you guys did your fair share of concerts. Is there one memorable show other than that Boston fiasco? But like not on this tour, but like in general. That
we've
you
had some really crazy Orlando shows that have gotten pretty wild, and I love playing Orlando because that's where we've played a lot, so everybody knows every word, and it's like, you know, people stage diving, and it's a crazy environment for us. Having not played the East Coast, not had a ton of exposure, some of these rooms when we played, it's like, you know, who the hell is this band? You know, it's, you know, nobody's really into it yet. But a lot of people like it after they hear it, obviously, but it's not, you know, it's not the same as playing to a crowd that knows every word that's yelling back. But I mean, some of the shows there, I mean, memorable things. I watched a guy dive straight into a pillar and like more or less knock himself out.
What?
We played a floor show there that was
Nice. All right, you're on the podcast. Fuck.
we played a floor show and I got basically bashed into a wall and I had to move like try to move 50 people just to get back towards the stage side, and I put my foot against the wall to push off, and my foot went right through the wall.
Oh my god!
Two panels of drywall and shit, and then the bartender was like, "Dude, you broke my wall and all the shit," and I'm like, all right, our other guitar guy is a builder and he can do shit. So I'm like, dude, you got to go fix this venue like tomorrow and shit, you know? So, but yeah, that was memorable. I mean, you know, dumb things are memorable, fights and people who throw up in the middle of the show and stuff like that. But, you know, that stuff's not that cool, you know?
Yes, so. Please do not puke in the middle of the show.
I will try tonight. And
I wasn't talking to you. I was talking about fans. Yeah. I mean, you know, it's always badass. Like, if you're on stage and puking, you're like, oh, shit, all right, he's been fucking drinking. Yeah. Like, if you're in the audience, you're like, all right, who's this asshole?
I'm lucky that has not happened yet, but it's come close a couple times. Or shit ourselves. Which has happened. But.
So you guys are on vacation from work or something like that? Like, oh, I got to request 2 weeks, I'm going on tour, and then you're back to work?
We both work in merchandising for bands, so we kind of get lucky in that.
New York, boys.
Yeah. We kind of get lucky in that sense that a lot of this, you know, is work in a way. It's because we're meeting a lot of bands and people are working with us to get shirt orders and stuff. So.
Yeah, I basically would have to quit my job or take vacation in order to go on
this?
Tour. No, no, no. Like my legit job.
You would quit this?
No. But yeah, I mean, I find it like kind of a dream to be like, oh, I want to go on tour and get signed. But then I'm like, I realize I'd have to quit my job or go on vacation just to be able to go somewhere. So yeah, it's kind of...
You don't want to do that. I mean, it's cool. And like I said, if I was a lot younger, I wish that the guys that are in Suck Brick, we had all been together when we were younger, because we would have done a lot more stuff. Now it's like, you know, we love doing, you know, strings of 10 to 15 dates kind of, but to get in a van for 6 months is something at this point I have very little desire to do. Mm-hmm. You know, I like I said, it's fun, you know, 6 days in, it's fun still. Day 8, day 9, day 10, that's where you start being like, all right, I'm tired of beef jerky. I'm tired of Cliff Bars. You know, all I want is a shower, a bed, you know, be able to watch reruns of or episodes of The Walking Dead. You know, it's like, it's things like that, the tiny little stuff.
So you haven't hit up like a rest area or anything like that to take like a shower or something?
We took a shower last night, finally in Boston, which is day 5 or 6. Maybe day six. So we took a shower finally yesterday, all of us together at the same time. It was it was nice. But yeah, it was actually my friend's apartment. It was about maybe 40 square feet.
35.
Yeah, something like that. And it's similar to New York. Like you spend $5,000 and you get like the size of this van. Yeah. But yeah, it's a really small apartment, and all of us are like no sleeping bags because we're dumb. No pillows, no anything. Strewn across like wood floor. We slept maybe 2 hours, I think, and got in the van and drove over to New York. So,
damn.
Yeah.
Yeah. Are you guys battling any illnesses right now? Any colds? Anything worse?
Coming from Florida and 100% humidity.
Yeah,
and
that's gotta fuck you up.
This weird weather in Baltimore was freezing. I mean, the venue was, I swear it had to be 15 inside the venue. When we played. I mean, I was shivering like before we started, and I mean, so I'm obviously you can hear my voice. I don't have much of a voice right now.
But then again, that's after 5 days of singing.
Yeah.
With no break.
I mean, everyone's kind of battling that at this point. Like guys in Phoenix last night were you know, having fans jump on and sing along and stuff because everyone's just kind of battling the same thing right now. You know, they had done I think 4 days more than us in a row. So
yeah,
I mean, they're at day 10 or 11 now. Oof. You know, so. Yeah, most tours you get, you know, 4 or 5 dates and you have a day off, you know, and this one it's kind of, oh yeah, yeah, sure. You can do a Baltimore load in at 2 p.m. after playing Atlanta and finishing at 2 a.m.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, that's a 12-hour gap. It's a 14-hour ride. So it's, I don't know. Yeah, sure. We'll be there, you know. So.
Well, I mean, you don't have any other choice. It's
the biggest thing is getting there and kind of annoying the promoter, like, oh, these guys don't take it seriously. Well, yeah, I mean, sorry, man. We just drove, you know, 14 hours and through the night. We just finished at 2 a.m. there. And, I mean, I get it that, you know, we didn't set this up. It was kind of done through, you know, booking guys and whatnot. But so it's just, to me, having toured a lot when we were younger, that was a tough drive, I would think. Like, normally that wouldn't be set up that way. But, I mean, as far as illness goes, I mean, all of us are battling little things. It's like the age is probably the worst illness that we all have. Yeah.
And that there's no cure for.
No.
There's no cure.
I think the other thing is the pizza and beer at 4 in the morning right before you go to bed is also, you know, it doesn't sit as well as it used to.
For some reason, it's not like we haven't tried that before 3,600 times in our lives to drink as much beer as you can and eat as much pizza as you can at 4 in the morning. But I continually do it.
Yeah.
Like, I need to seek counseling or, like, help. Because it's like, you know when you have a problem and you just can't stop yourself from eating pizza and drinking beer at 4 in the morning. And so I should probably seek therapy.
Well, that's the first step is admitting, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I admit. Yeah, I am, what is the thing, helpless to my... What is the? I don't even know.
Forgot.
I don't know. I don't want to offend anybody because I'm sure saying anything at this point will offend anybody. But
yeah, I mean that also turns a lot of people off from AA. Is it's basically you give yourself to a higher power. Like it's purely religious based, and if someone needs help and essentially okay, I don't like God. I don't know anything about a God. I don't believe. Now what? Are you screwed out of that or?
Well, you're obviously not allowed to AA then.
Yeah.
I mean, there's strict rules. I mean, you got, I think there's commandments, there's things like that. So you gotta, you know, live by the code. So.
Jesus.
Yes.
But yes, exactly. Literally Jesus.
Yeah. Jesus.
Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. So you guys are on Smart Punk Records and you just released a album not too long ago.
Yep. Yeah, we released The Beast Goes On.
Yep.
I don't know which month it was, but August last year it came out. And, yeah, it's been awesome.
How's the reception?
It's been great. We've had a lot of really positive reviews and looks at it and a lot of plays and listens online and stuff. So I think it's been really good. I don't know if you guys heard it or...
We heard some songs.
Well,
Go the entire way through. I mean, I'm going to, but...
Oh, sure.
No, I'm not saying that either.
Yeah, man, thanks a lot.
Hey, you're as good as your word.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Dude, we're awesome. You should take my word for it. We're really good.
And from what I did hear, it's pop punk with some aggressive vocals, like 4 Year Strong influences, a little Set Your Goals in there as well.
Yeah, we get a lot of that Set Your Goals, 4 Year Strong comparisons. You know, I think all of us grew up listening to a lot of the, like, fat bands and old school Epitaph bands, like, you know, Pennywise and Lagwagon.
Bad Religion.
I think that's where most of our influences come. And, you know, and then a couple of our guys, like, you know, Brand New and stuff like that, which is, so I think we kind of get a hodgepodge of, you know, shit put together to make kind of what this band is.
Which is good because it's not the same, you know, pop punk style. It's not like back in 2001 where everyone tried to mimic Jordan from Newfound Glory's voice. Yeah. The little nasally thing. Like every single scene band always did that, no matter where you were in the country.
We were listening to something yesterday. Our other guitarist is a like complete like fangirl of bands like Reliant K and stuff like that. And it's like it's whatever is as poppy as it can get. He is all about it. And I think he played like in a 10-hour drive. I thought he played the same band at least 46 times, but he kept shouting out new names. And I was like, this is the same guy singing, right? Am I wrong? So, but I mean, a lot of those bands are great. I like when there's a difference between something and something else. And a lot of times with quote unquote pop punk, we're getting the same recycled sound over and over and over. And not that there's anything wrong with that. I think, you know, you got to do what you got to do, but if it's the same noise over and over, I don't know the difference between that and, you know, the next one.
And that's the problem, because everyone loves a mixture of things. Like, that's why a band like A Day to Remember is so fucking huge.
Yeah. I mean, obviously they blend things pretty well together. I mean, hardcore and pop punk. Yeah.
Like, it's actually going through mainstream rock.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean, they're
like, did
they're
you
on.
Think, like, 10 years ago, like, knowing this band, you're like, all right, they might be big. And, like, same thing with Rise Against.
No.
Rise Against is a fucking radio staple now, which is nuts.
We were lucky younger because we knew a lot of those guys growing up. They played a lot of really small shows. There would be, like, 20 kids at it. And now all of a sudden they're on, you know, they're playing arenas and stadiums. And, you know, that's great for them. And, like I said, their music has transcended just being pop punk or hardcore. And now they're, you know, playing, like, Hello Rockville and, you know, self-help. You know,
and they did that. Yeah. They did that whole thing. Yeah,
I know. It's pretty crazy. Look what pop punk can do for you. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Exactly. I mean, it's no longer the Blink-182 Jimmy Eat World. I mean, it's evolving.
And now there's this whole other world of pop punk that's been created that, I mean, people call it pop punk, which is like, you know, the indie, like almost like shoegazing world of, they call it pop punk. I don't, every time I hear it, I'm like
foxing. Like bands like that?
Yeah, like, you know, there's a lot of great bands that are cool, but I wouldn't consider it necessarily pop punk, you know, but it's kind of like this weird blend now where, you know, they say, oh, it's a pop punk show, and you go, and it's like, well, this is four indie bands playing, you know, so.
Yeah, it's like, what was it, back, there was like a weird evolution, like 5 years ago, you had bands like Balance and Composure, La Disputes.
Yeah.
You know, bands like that came out.
Yeah.
And they basically pushed pop punk to the side, and now that sound's being pushed aside. Pop punk's now back. Someone has seen, like, you have bands like The Wonder Years, who now doesn't sound like pop punk, and I'm confusing the shit out of this audience who has no idea about any of this, but.
Very great writers, though. I mean, they know how to write a song, for sure.
Oh, yeah, Soupy is a fucking lyricist.
Yeah, exactly. I think that's one of the biggest qualities of The Wonder Years, you know, is definitely writing. You know?
Yeah. So, real quick, let's go into the history of Suck Bruck Kid.
Cool.
So let's start from somewhat of the beginning. I know you guys have to go in pretty soon, so.
We started, me, him, and Dan. Yeah. Yeah, us three got together. We started playing in your, like, little room with one acoustic guitar. I mean, we kind of, like I said, the goal was not to do anything for real. It was just like, we had all been in bands. We didn't want to commit, really, to doing anything. It was kind of like, well, let's just write songs, and we like it. We'll get as drunk as we can, and we'll go play a show. And
good
that was kind of like, that was like the goal. That was like, if we had a chalkboard, it would have been number one. You know, like, play a show. We don't care if anybody goes. Give us beer tickets. You know,
good
that
enough.
Would have been, you know, number one. So we started doing that. We wrote maybe 10 songs over the course of maybe 6 months or so. And then we went in and recorded them. But, I mean, it kind of came about in a weird way. Like, we scoured for drummers. We didn't have a drummer for a while. Hayden came down from Illinois, and he's actually a guitar player too, and we just said, hey, you want to play bass, because we don't need a third guitar, you know. So, and he's like, sure, I've never played it, you know, let's try it. And he's actually pretty good. And Danny, we had to like beg, because I think that Danny is probably one of the best drummers in Orlando. Maybe there's a handful of them, and it's like, he had just been on tour with the Misfits and a bunch of other bands, like. And he was just sick of it. He didn't want to do anything. He's like, you know, I could do this. I could drink beer and play songs and not take anything seriously.
Yeah.
And so we got him. It took some convincing. I mean, he was just like, I'm not doing anything serious. And like, and that's, I think that was the whole kind of gist of it. And it kind of just formed together and accidentally became serious.
So is your goal now to be touring in
the biggest band in the world, man?
Well, obviously you would love to do that. It could be like a dream, but is that your goal now, other than drinking and playing?
No, my goal is still drinking. But no, 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 I'm
still
kidding.
Number one on the big board.
Yeah, yeah. Number one on the big board is
beer tickets.
Beer tickets.
Hey, you got to add the 1A to there now.
Yeah. Yes, 1A. Yeah. Be the biggest fan. No, we're happy to be able to do this. If it was up to me, I would play one show, take a week off, and then play another show, and then a week off. Because, I mean, I love doing it, but I hate being under the gun. I hate the pressure of it. It's not like pressure of like, just like, oh, you got to get there. You got to get there at 2. All right, now you're there. All right, now wait around until 9. Yeah. Or wait around until 8. It's like, that's 6 hours. What am I going to do? There's a bar here. You know, it's like the earlier the better is kind of for us. But if we play later in the night, it's always, you never know what you're going to get. You know, our guitarist may fall over. Or I may not be able to stand up. So, I mean,
it's crazy because literally our guitarist Dan can probably Houdini 6 tall boy beers without us even seeing it. And then all of a sudden he's falling like all over the place. We're like, damn it, Dan, how did you drink so much so quick?
Yeah. Damn, Daniel.
That's why I mean, like, our ideal scenario is not being in the venue for 6 to 8 hours before playing, you know, because I mean, there's nothing to do. I can only check my cell phone, you know, so many times. And then, you know, I sit there for so I mean, to tour constantly and permanently is not really what I want to do. I mean, if we keep getting good offers and good tours, and then we're going to, you know, we're obviously going to continue doing them. But we'd like to do just kind of enough to where we can still, like, you just had a baby. You know, I have a daughter at home. So, I mean, all of us have, you know,
things going on,
wives and families and stuff like that. So it's like, we want to do this as much as we can without, like, destroying all of these other people and their, you know, and kids and stuff like that.
Yeah, we'll write a song about that.
Yeah.
I don't think there's... is there any songs about that, Dan?
No. No. Most people don't care about their families, you know? So, you know.
Explain the name and the reference.
Oh, come on. Everyone knows
it was
us.
A German porno film that we saw when we were headlining all the German festivals that we have played. But no, I'm kidding. It's a Home Alone reference, actually Home Alone 2. And it's the name is kind of weird because, like, people have heard it and they're like, oh, that must be like a, you know, hardcore band or a metal band or whatever. And we're not even near that sound. So, you know, other people find it like it's kind of offensive. Like, what are they trying to say? Like, is it a violent reference? Is it? And it's like, have you seen Home Alone or Home Alone 2? It's not, you know. So, I mean, it kind of came about. Just we liked it. I think we thought it was funny. We didn't even have a name for I think the first 6 months when we played shows without a name, like I said, goal one, drink beer tickets. So somebody would come to us like, hey, I know you're working on some stuff. You want to play a show? We'd be like, yeah. And then they'd promote our contacts or whatever and be like, well, what's your name? I'm like, we don't have a name right now. Like, well, what do you want me to put on the flyer? I'm like, I don't know. Figure something out, man. It's not my problem. That's not part of 1A.
Do they come up with any good names or no?
Oh, us? We had an entire whiteboard that I think we stared at for 6 months, and we liked this one the most, and we just kind of were using it as a phrase and things like that.
I think the biggest thing was, well, since we know we're not really trying to do anything crazy, it's like what will stick out so that we don't have to do that much work to, you know, push our name. So we've gotten a lot of, like, people that are like, oh, crap, I saw these bands in this list, and yours really, like, popped out at us, like, Suck Brickhead. What is that? So, yeah.
Yeah, I think that was part of it, too. We wanted to kind of pop on a flyer, you know, to where, all right, every band has this, like, the same name over and over, you know, and I like the fact that ours kind of draws some, whether you think it's distasteful or intriguing or whatever, it draws a reaction, you know.
Well, it's better than that other name of that German porno you
yeah, the German porno was
too much.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right, let's start wrapping this up. Just one last question from me. If you could tour with anyone, who would it be? I know, generic question, but, you know, we get some interesting answers.
Do you have one?
Yeah, I guess. I mean, we would not fit the bill, but if we could tour with anyone.
Anyone.
I would probably have to say the Foo Fighters, just because they seem like a bunch of rad dudes. But I can tell you that we will not fit that bill ever.
Actually, you know what? First time I saw the Foo Fighters, Against Me opened for them.
Oh, that's when I first saw them.
Oh,
yeah,
shit,
and
yeah.
That was Jimmy Eat World and Against Me, Jimmy Eat World, and Foo Fighters. That's the one that I saw. It was in Orlando.
I think that was, wasn't that a, Wasn't that a Green Day tour?
Oh, I don't know. In Orlando, I actually won tickets from the radio. The only thing I've ever won from the radio were tickets to go see Foo Fighters. And then I got there, and I'm like, oh, who's even opening up for the Foo Fighters? And then Against Me stuff was up on stage. I'm like, oh, shit. I'm like, that's cool. They're like direct openers. And then they're like, all right, next band is Jimmy Eat World. I was like, oh, wow, I really won out on this one. And then Foo Fighters was
on. My show was Against Me, and then you had a Serj Tankian of System of a Down.
Oh, wow.
And then the Foo Fighters. So you could fit in with the Foo Fighters. All right, yeah. All
right. I mean, obviously, we're already doing it. We're playing with Unwritten Law and Phoenix X. So, I mean, that's our other guitarist would probably say that would be his dream tour package, you know. The minute I even told him, like hey, we can possibly do these Unwritten Law Phoenix dates. And he's like,
possibly, no, we're doing this.
He's like, no way, dude. We got to do it. I'm like, dude, I don't know if we can take 10 days and go do this.
He was, I mean, his fiance's birthday was literally like the weekend. The first night that we left. And I remember he was saying, like, no, we won't be able to do those first like few shows, man. We're celebrating her birthday. I'm like, come on, there's got to be something. He's like, actually, you know what? Yeah, I'll make it work. I'll make it work.
So now he's no fiance, but
I'm kidding.
But yeah,
she's a good lady.
She is a great lady.
She's a good egg.
She's a great egg.
Yes. Yep.
Last question: any equipment, any brands you'd like to plug?
Until they give us whatever we need.
Sponsorships.
This is how it works. They listen to us.
Ah, okay.
Gross. The supper kid.
What do we want?
All right.
No, I mean we use a lot of cool gear I like what we're using. Obviously we have a couple orange cabs and things like that are great. His Hughes and Kettner head is awesome. Dan.
Yeah, we should probably make a plug to Hughes and Kettner since I've been using that amp for like 8 years and it probably works now. 7 out of 10 times because of how old and beat up it is. So yeah, Hughes and Kettner, man, I love you guys.
Actually,
please sponsor them.
Well, this is what happens. If they don't provide us a new head, he's still going to use it, and it's only going to work 7 out of 10 times, making the head look worse.
Yeah.
So you know they should probably send us a head, and then we will make sure it works 10 times out of 10.
Yeah.
There we go. All right, so let me do some plugging for you guys. You're on Facebook, facebook.com/suckbrickkidfl, or okay, same thing with the Twitter and the Instagram. You're wrapping up the tour with Unwritten Law, Phoenix TX, and you also have a huge show coming up April 8th with Such Golden Pears down in Orlando. Yep. Do you know the venue offhand?
Back Booth.
Yep. All right, tickets are on sale, I'm assuming, but they're not going to last long.
Nope. You should buy them now. If you live in New York, you should definitely buy them now and fly down. Yeah.
Absolutely. All right, guys, anything else you want to promote real quick? Besides buy the album?
Besides Behind the Barricade, we're going to plug that for sure. But, buy the album. Don't buy the album. Steal the album. Whatever you want to do. I mean, listen to the album. I think that would be best. And, you know, come see us if we're in your town.
Damn right. Dan, plugs.
My band Dead Tide, I guess. I'm beating like a dead horse on this one, but we got a huge show April 10th at The Chance in Poughkeepsie, New York with Soilwork and Fear Factory.
I didn't forget.
Oh, yeah. So, yeah, I'll be there. Check out my Instagram. It's basically all the same, you know, even PlayStation Network. John hates this one. I'm just going to keep hitting it until he likes it. But it's Rock Drummer, RCKDRUMM3R. All the Facebook handles are the same, so just check that out. Other than that, please like Behind the Barricade.
Yep, and you could like us on Facebook, facebook.com/BehindTheBarricade, Twitter at BehindTheCade, CADE, Instagram, instagram.com/BehindTheBarricade. And yes, we are making it rain in this bitch. And I'll actually be out in Vegas next week, so all of you West Coasters want to come hang out. I'll be at the M Casino, I want to say. It's a little off the strip, but I'll be there from Friday to Monday. You want to hang out, let me know. Hit us up. Suck Brick Kid, thank you very much. Grant,
thank
Arturo.
Thank you. Thanks for having us, man.
Thanks.
And there you have it, our interview with Suck Brick Kid. Special thanks again to Grant and Arturo for taking the time with us. Anyways, before we get to their song Believe, which will be stuck in your head for weeks on end, you could ask Dan or I. Anyways, this Monday, we have a brand new episode. Episode 17 features John Russo, the lead singer of New Jersey's alternative rock band, Reverse Order. They have one hell of a show coming up with Behind the Barricade alumni, Bad Case of Big Mouth, on April 15th at the Old Mogul Theater in Montclair, New Jersey. Tickets are on sale now. You can go to reverseorderonline.com/tickets. I actually had to remember that because I completely forgot the website. But anyways, get tickets now. We'll also repeat the website during the show. And you're in for a great night of music. Anyways, here's Believe by Suck Brick Kid. Hope you enjoy, and we'll see you Monday. Peace.
Well, give him the chance, he takes it. Just a small town kid who fakes it. He's got nothing left to care about. An outcast, some would say. Go ahead and look the other way. The stage is all he ever cared about. It's his chance to sing alone. Words written in his soul. Sound piercing through his ears. It crushes all. It's all